News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage
in association with AIR.
Turn to issues FIFA related and Gianni Infantino's difficult position he now holds. On the one hand, the possibility, albeit an ever more faint possibility, that he might end up with a job worth tens of millions per annum. The other possibility, they might end up with no job at all. John Bruin is with a sports writer with The Guardian. John, I won't put you in the position of being a betting man on whether or not Infantino will cling on to his job, but maybe you might just paint for us the picture of where he has gotten himself backed into.
Well, the position is that multiple confederations, UEFA leading the charge, have expressed their disquiet at the, well, now aborted plan that Mr. Infantino introduced with the help of Josh Kushner, a man connected, let's say, to the White House. But I suppose this is the point where Gianni, who hasn't spoken on the record since that sort of statement announcing that the deal was over, he's bedding in by the sounds of things. He's trying to curry favour, curry support. The thing is, with how FIFA is run, how it's elected, it's done by a nation-by-nation basis. It's not done via confederations. It's done by a... So each country, so that would be, you know, Ireland will have the same voting rights as, say, Bhutan, would have the same voting rights as Argentina. He's trying to curry favour with individual nations. In Asia, he still has a power base. But UEFA have decided they want legal action. They want to know, part of that legal action is to know where, how this deal came about, which seems like a very much a backroom deal, considering a couple of FIFA executives have, well, stepped away, disassociated themselves from it. His position does not look great, but what we know about Gianni Infantino is he is willing to double down at pretty much everything. So let's see how it goes. But he seemed, his position, having been impregnable as the World Cup concluded, is certainly in serious doubt.
Can you explain, John, how he managed to get it so badly wrong? Because I assume you don't get to be in Gianni Infantino's position without good political nous and a capacity to figure out what'll fly and what won't. How can he have gotten it that wrong?
Well, football has made fools of many people over the years. You've seen how many business people have gone into the game and have seemed to be thinking capable of turning things around. I suppose you're in a simple position of, you know, power corrupts. And one of the things is that the people that Gianni Infantino has sought to associate himself with over the years, you may remember that picture of him sat at the 2018 World Cup, sat between Vladimir Putin and Mohammed bin Salman, the head of Saudi Arabia. These are the people that he surrounds himself with or would like to be with. And it appears what's happened here is he's got in with the Trump camp. Now, the Trump camp, as we know, there's a whole list of casualties of people that have got involved with Trump. It's interesting to see footage of Donald Trump himself pretty much dismissing Gianni Infantino and this deal with one word. The Trumps like their taste, but if stuff goes wrong, then you are dead in the water. And that appears to be how he's arrived at this situation. He's got ahead of himself. You've seen this guy who previously was a understated Swiss accountant, executive for UEFA, considered reasonably as an efficient operator, has got drunk on his own success, drunk on power. And there's also the idea, this idea that once his term finished as a FIFA president, he would then move to this role of a commissioner. Now, a commissioner in the NBA, say, earns multiple tens of million dollars a year. And I think this may well have been attractive to Gianni Infantino. So money, power, influence, all the usual stuff that corrupt people.
Well, if that's what was motivating Infantino, what about on the other side of it? Because he has now backed off the deal, but we see reports saying that UEFA has written to him saying that they are actively considering legal action, arbitration and or regulatory complaints arising out of in connection with the plan that was proposed, and that they want immediate steps to preserve all documents and electronically stored information independent of any internal policies that may result in routine document destruction or deletion. In other words, don't delete anything. Keep everything because we're coming after you. Why are they doubling down?
Well, Infantino and UEFA have been in conflict for quite some time. And this is it. He was a high-ranking official with UEFA. But as soon as he went to FIFA, he turned to the rest of the world. He turned to what people term the global south for his power base. He's openly criticised UEFA. He's openly criticised the European nations. Now, if you're a cynic, and we all have to be cynics at this point, there is this idea that the Europe being the power base of the game, the World Cup could not really exist without European nations. There's a power grab from them. This idea that this is their chance to get maybe their man in the job, their woman in the job, and pull back their control of the game away from those other areas of the world. Now, we'll have to see if that's the case. At the moment, Infantino has left himself open to such an eventuality by his actions, by getting involved with Josh Kushner and these investment companies, by getting too close to Saudi Arabia, to Qatar, and leaving himself open. So we'll have to see. But yeah, disappearing messages on his WhatsApp and all that stuff, he's going to have to turn them off by the sounds of it. And it could be some very interesting documents to come, couldn't there?
Now, what does that mean long-term and short-term for the actual playing of the game? Because at one point it looked like there was going to be boycotting of any FIFA games, which had implications particularly for the Republic of Ireland women's team in respect to the World Cup. Is any of that now likely to come to fruition? Are we going to see any of that kind of brinksmanship?
Well, I think brinksmanship is probably the aim of the game at this point. The boycott hasn't been called as yet, we don't think, but it's not been put into action. But there are FIFA tournaments coming on. You know, there's youth tournaments, as you say, the Women's World Cup, is fairly imminent. And this is it. From an English point of view, the English FA were, if not well disposed to Infantino, were prepared to kowtow to him because they want to host the Women's World Cup, 2037, I think. And as a result of that, it means that they'd had to play the game with Infantino. But now, with this guy having seemed so impregnable, you having to toe the line with him, they're going to try and take him on. And a boycott is possible. And there is this idea within people in UEFA that they have to get him out. They have to get rid of Infantino's malign, as they say, influence. And so a boycott may be possible. Brinkmanship is almost certainly the correct word. It is always the correct word, isn't it, with these things? And it seems we'll have to see if he will back down. But there is an election next year of Infantino that was supposed to be unopposed. It certainly won't be unopposed. Now, I suppose the big question is, who do UEFA, who do the other confederations get to stand against Infantino? The problem we've always had in the governance of football, soccer, is that the next guy seems to be worse than the last guy. So who knows who these candidates might be?
Well, final thing then, John, as when the blood is wiped from the walls and the smoke finally clears, is there lasting damage to the game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And this is the thing. I think there was lasting damage done by the World Cup, which I found, as good as some of the football was, a fairly vulgar, brazen concept, the hydration breaks, the Balogun ban, the rampant commercialism, and this thing, and this happened after the Qatar World Cup as well, where it's trying to thrust down your throat that this is the greatest World Cup you have ever seen, when they don't allow the public to have their own view. They don't allow the football fans to see it as they are. And the thing is, there is this idea, isn't there, that the money is supposed to, from this plan, the money was supposed to flow back to the federations, to the good of the game, for the development. The problem is, what's the cost of that? The people that take that money or would lend that money want something back from it. And it would mean that, say, Ireland qualify for a World Cup or something like that, the cost of the fans to go to that World Cup would be beyond anyone's reach. So it's taking the game away from the people. And I think people have thought that for a long time. But this World Cup and then this subsequent plan have shown us that FIFA used to have this motto, which was for the good of the game. I've not seen that for a while. And this is it. It appears that we are now aware, just as we probably always were, but it's now in the clear that FIFA do not operate for the good of the game.
John, thank you. John Bruin there, sports writer with The Guardian.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.